Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 7. On Wednesday nights, we'll be going through and preaching and teaching on the life of Joshua. And what a tremendous Bible character we find with Joshua. And even before we look into the book of Joshua, we studied the life of Joshua, the man Joshua, and found a lot of very interesting things and powerful things that God worked in his life. And then he now is taking and leading the nation of Israel into the land of the promised land, the land of Canaan, conquering the land, and then he'll be dividing the land up. And so it's just a blessing that God has provided for us this account of the life of Joshua. Last week in chapter 7, Joshua's response after being blindsided by Israel's defeat at Ai. Remember, they had tremendous victory at Jericho, and then they went up against Ai, and they were defeated, soundly defeated. And Joshua did not see that company coming. He was blindsided by the defeat at Ai. And we studied that to find what have we been blindsided by. Something happened that we didn't think would happen. And how do you respond to that? And so we looked at that, Joshua's response after being blindsided by their defeat at Ai. Victories are conditional. We just can't expect them to happen. They're not automatic. No devil wants to defeat us. We fight spiritual warfare. And if we are not doing the things that God would have us to do, then victories are not automatic. And we studied that. And I trust that was help last week as we looked at that. Well, now we find here, after Joshua's response, we find God speaks. And it's always what we need is to hear from God. And especially when we've been blindsided. Something's taken place that we didn't see coming. And different people will respond differently to those types of situations. But everyone needs to hear from God. When you're faced with things that you didn't realize, you didn't think you might ever have to face. And this is what's taking place with Joshua. So go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading this next verses here. Just chapter 7, verse 10 down to verse 13 is God speaking to Joshua. All right, this is Wednesday night. Amen. I'll tell you what, these things are just so crazy anymore with everything taking place and dealing with all the things of life. And it is a blessing to have a refuge in the church and coming out and just being an encouragement one to another and receiving a message of song. I mean, you know, that's something that's worth coming out for. I mean, just to be able to hear the special music. And then, of course, a hearing from God, a message from the Bible, God's holy word. And it's something we all look forward to. I trust that you are looking forward to it and ready to receive what God has for us tonight. But it's not automatic. You got to plug in, all right? So let's plug into the word of God tonight. Joshua chapter 7 and verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have stolen and disassembled also. And they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you again. We thank you for what we've already experienced as being in church tonight. And right now, Lord God, as we have looked and read this passage of Scripture as far as your speaking to Joshua, and I pray, God, that we would all be able to learn of this Bible story, but also be able to practically apply these principles to our lives even today. Bless the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. God speaks in verse 10. As far as we know, there is no other recorded communication from God to Israel since the victory, or before the victory at Jericho. Before the victory of Jericho, Joshua very much wanted to hear from God. And we studied that and all the things that he did to be able to hear from God. And then after he heard from God, we've seen exactly how important it was for him to take in that message from God to the people. And that was a priority when they went up against Jericho. That was not the case when they went up against Ai. There was no communication between God and Israel or Joshua and God as far as not being recorded before they went up against Ai. So now all this has taken place and Joshua is crying out before God, and God now speaks, and two things we find that God does right here, and he gives to Joshua. He gives an understanding of what had happened. You can't repent of something if you don't know what you need to repent of. We need to know what's happened if we have lost the fellowship and the power and the blessings of God upon our lives. If you've ever had it, it just does not just go away on its own. If you lose it, you got to go back to when you last had it to find out what took place for you to lose it. That's usually repentance. That's usually revival. To be revived, that means you had to at least have life. You have to go back to where you lost it. And when you go back to where you lost it, then you can realize what you did to lose it. It just didn't go away. You lost it. And if you want it back, repent. Confess and forsake it. Have a desire to get back in fellowship with God. Yeah. So, to give an understanding of what had happened. And then the second thing was to instruct on what needed to be done to regain it. Verse 7 and 9, we looked at this last week in chapter 7, verse 7. This is as far as Joshua's response. And verses 7 and 9, clearly Joshua had no clue of what had happened. He was blindsided. He should not have been, but he was. This is the lowest point in Joshua's life when it comes to his walk with God. I mean, most, even David, he had some terrible things that took place in his life, and he had to repent of those things to be able to be restored. Joshua, you don't find that in Joshua's life. Joshua was upstanding. I mean, the testimony of his life is one of encouragement. This would be the lowest point in Joshua's life. And he said some things. He that revealed that he had no clue on what had happened for them to be defeated at Ai. So then we find that God speaks. In verse 10, and the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Paraphrase would be, why are you thinking the way you're thinking? What are you doing? Why are you thinking the way you're thinking? And he revealed what he's thinking in verse 7 through 8, which was craziness. And God says, why are you thinking that way? Can I tell you, even the greatest minds can be blinded. Even the most godly of men can be blinded. If Joshua could be blinded as to why this happened, when it's very clear to God, and it should have been very clear to Joshua why it happened, any one of us can be blinded. And when you're blinded, you aren't thinking clearly. If you're not thinking clearly, you'll not respond rightly. Because you're responding from wrong way of thinking. In order to respond the right way, you got to have right thinking. Joshua was blaming God. Joshua, blaming God. Now look right there, if you will, just in verse 7, he said, Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? You brought us over here to be destroyed. Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. We should never cross the Jordan. We should have stayed on the other side. Did you not see the miracle that God performed to get you over the Jordan River? And now you're questioning whether or not you should have ever experienced that miracle of God? And you're blaming God for bringing you over here with the thoughts of destroying you in the land of Canaan? That's craziness. How could you think that way, Joshua? That's what God's saying to him. In verse 9, he says this. He says, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what will thou do unto thy great name? What are you going to do? Because clearly you've done this. He's blaming God. The source of the problem was not God. Can I tell you that God gets too much blame and not enough praise? How many times something will happen and you'll go get on your face before God and you'll start, why God, why? And God's saying, what do you mean, why? Why'd you let me run out of gas on the highway? And God says, you got to put gas in the car. I look at this and I see God looking down upon Joshua and saying, what are you doing? Why are you thinking that way? Don't you? You should know why this happened. You should not be blaming me. I'm not the cause for this. Israel's the cause. I'm the solution. And yes, we want to, even not even understanding what we're doing, but God, why did you let me run out of gas? The car will not run unless you put gas in it. God, why did you let me have a flat tire and maybe even cause me to go off the road and be stranded? Why, God, did you... When's the last time you checked the air pressure in your tires? Sometimes we lose common sense
over things we ought to be doing to maintain certain things, and then blaming God for them failing on us. Why do I have financial problems, Lord? Why do I not? Because you've been spending more than you're earning? You've not learned to live within your means? But God, why? Listen, too often we blame God, and God is not to be blamed. God is to be praised. We get cancer. God, why did you bring this cancer into my life? And you spent your whole life drinking alcohol. And you got cirrhosis of the liver. Can I tell you, God did not give you cirrhosis of the liver. You gave yourself cirrhosis of the liver by the drinking of the alcohol. We get lung cancer. Why, God? And you've been smoking your whole life. God did not give you lung cancer. You gave yourself lung cancer by smoking a cigarette that it says right on the side of it causes cancer. The sin of the sin of smoking cigarettes is the causing cancer. How in the world can we blame God? We ought to be blaming ourselves. Thank God, look what I've done. I'm not looking to you for blame. I'm blaming, rightly so, myself. I'm looking to you for healing. I'm looking to you for intervention. I'm looking for you for help. I am looking to you because of who you are, and I'm praising you. And I'm asking, undeservingly, for whatever help you need. Totally two ways of dealing with a problem. What are you doing, Joshua? Now, I love it because God gave him somewhat of a pass on this. Somewhat like Elijah, when Elijah wanted to die after calling fire down from heaven one day and the next day running from Jezebel. And God fed him and he took care of him, gave him time to heal and time to rest. And then he gave him further instructions. Just kind of act like he had never asked to die. And it's almost like this with Joshua. It's almost like God saying, "All right, Joshua, I know you've been through a lot. I know you're blindsided. But get up." "Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus?" Look at yourself. Look at your thinking. Look at what's going on inside of your mind. Wow. It was a rebuke of Joshua. The source was not, or the root problem was not God. We need to understand what's going on. Stop blaming God, but let's understand what's going on. Instead of blaming God, Joshua should have remembered God's instructions and warnings. Chapter 6 and verse 18. Before they went into Jericho, "And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing." Okay, something God says, don't do this. "Lest ye make yourself accursed." If you do this, this is what's going to happen. "When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it." If anyone takes of the accursed thing, then you're going to trouble the entire nation of Israel. You're going to bring trouble upon your nation. That's what God said. Joshua repeated that to the nation of Israel. If anybody should have known, Joshua should have known. God spoke to Joshua. Joshua revealed it to the people. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. The Bible says these are the first fruits. These are going to come into the treasuries of the Lord. And so because of that, they are not for you to take. If you take of them, that is a curse to you. God saying, Joshua, did not I tell you that? And didn't you even take the very same truth and tell it to the nation of Israel? I believe that he probably had it posted to all the Israelites when they went into Jericho would be able to see, this is what God says, don't take of the accursed. If you do that, it will bring a judgment down upon the entire nation of Israel. So Joshua, I don't know why you're thinking the way you're thinking. The old devil's blinded your mind. This is why this happened. Get it in your head. Stop blaming God and finding the source of the problem. Israel was to be blamed, not God. Verse 11, he then makes it clear and he says, Israel hath sinned. And then he describes Achan's sin. I can't imagine this. Knowing what Joshua had told them that came from God, even having it posted, and he still blocked out God and even blocked out how it would affect the entire nation of Israel. And he did exactly what God said not to do. Turned to his own way. Justified it within his own mind. We'll get into that a little bit later when we study Achan's punishment. But he tells of Achan's sin. He says this without mentioning Achan. He said, this is what happened. He transgressed my covenant. Transgressed my covenant, which I had commanded them. This is the source of the defeat. This is why Israel was defeated at Ai. They'd sinned. Transgressed my covenant. They disobeyed a direct order. When you disobey a direct order, do you really expect to be blessed by that person that you just disobeyed? You're in the military and you disrespect a direct order, you're going to be placed in confinement, possibly even given a dishonorable discharge. If you were raised in my home, if you disrespected a direct order, my dad had a police belt that was about this wide, had spikes on it. If you disrespected a direct order, you knew you're going to get it. And it was something to be feared. That's why we would not do it. If we disobeyed an order, We tried to hide it to where he didn't see it. And very seldom did we even do that because the risk reward was not worth it. The pain of that belt, Dad always used that belt. Mom always made us go out and get our own switch. If you know what a switch is. How many of you young people have ever been switched? No, I didn't think so. No, I said the young people. How many old people? We all have been there, yeah. And if you didn't get a big enough switch, you're in double trouble. Yeah. So you learned how to get the softest of the of the trees out there. Yeah, Mom always used the switch. Dad always used the belt. Either way, you didn't want to have to face the punishment from a disrespecting a direct order. God says they've disrespected, transgressed my covenant that I made with them, which I commanded them. The covenant was between God and Israel, covenant on what he would do if what they did what he told them to do, and what he would do if they didn't do what he told them to do. They did this. They disobeyed a direct command. It only took one to trouble all of Israel. Honestly, I have a hard time with that. But it's reality. I would be more willing to try to get by with something if I was the only one that was going to have to pay the price. But are you really willing to sacrifice your entire family over some selfish desire to get by with something you know is wrong? Are you really willing to sacrifice a marriage? Are you willing to sacrifice the minds of your children and how it would impact their lives? I think that's exactly why God did it this way. Achan's sin would trouble all of Israel. God said, if any take of it, it will trouble all of Israel. As long as he was with Israel, Israel would be accursed. Now we find that in the New Testament. It's the very same principle that we have in the New Testament. And let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians in chapter 5, in verse 6 and 7, it says this. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians here. I think I got the wrong scripture here. No, it is. Okay. Verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. That little bit of leaven, if there's sin in the camp, the whole camp will suffer because of it. If there's sin in the whole home, the house will suffer because of it. If there's sin in the church, and it is allowed to go unpunished, it will impact the entire church. Wow. Not only did they transgress the covenant by disobeying a direct command, he says in verse 11, they've stolen. They've taken of the accursed thing and have also stolen. Because this was the first fruits. This is the first battle. This is what was God's. This is what was supposed to be placed in the storehouse, which the Bible tells us as born-again believers, if you're saved, then you give God the first fruits, which are His. In the book of Malachi in chapter 3, this is what the Bible says. This is what we find in God dealing with Joshua and dealing with Achan's sin. And the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 7, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? And the Bible says, will a man rob God? Achan, by taking of the curse, you were robbing from God, because that was to go into the storehouse of God. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the Bible says, in tithes and offerings. Because you've robbed God with tithes and offerings, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be not be room enough to receive it. God says, if you do it my way, then you can be blessed. But if you do not do it according to my way, don't expect the blessings of God. This was what God said. He said this was a curse. They had stolen. They had transgressed his covenant. They have stolen. They disassembled. What does that mean? To hide or cover up a false appearance. Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament. Clear example of that. They dissembled to hide or cover up, thinking that they can get by with it. It's not affecting anybody else. What blinders Satan puts on people, to think that your sin is not going to affect somebody else, it will affect other people. They disassembled. Go back with me here because we're getting ready to close. Don't have much longer here, but after the disassembled, the reality of what was happening is revealed in verse 12. They put it even among their own stuff, and they've hid it. Therefore, Joshua, this is what you need to know is going on. Focus your thinking on the reality of what has happened so you can have right thinking. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. I know that blindsided you because you didn't see it coming. But with the warning that you gave them, you had to have been aware that not everybody might take heed to the warning. And the first thing that you should have realized when that happened is somebody has sinned. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before the enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. If you were accursed, would you want to know about it? If you don't know about it, there's nothing you can do about it. What did I say earlier on? You can't repent unless you know what you're repenting of. Can I tell you, so many people go to churches today for entertainment. I go to church because I believe in God. I go to church because I want to understand more about this Bible right here. If I don't know it, I can't apply it. I don't want to be blinded. I don't want to have wrong thinking like Joshua. If Joshua could be blinded to it, there's no doubt I can be blinded to things and you can be blinded to things. The devil wants to blind us to the reality of truth. If you attend a church where there's no preaching, then there's no conviction. If there's no conviction, there can be no repentance. If there's no repentance, there can be no reconciliation. You just continue to play church week after week after week. Get entertained, enjoy it, go home, never change a bit. Never change how you live your life. Never change how you worship God. Never change what you're doing for the Lord. It just repeat over and over and over. Same thing. How many people are living that way? If I'm accursed, God help me to see where I'm accursed. I want the blessings of Almighty God because I know they're real. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore except, now that you know it, you know what's going on, God says this is what you need to do. Destroy the accursed thing from among you. Get rid of the thing that's keeping you from the blessings of God upon your life, on your home, in your marriage, your raising of your children, your finances, whatever it might be, whatever area of life. Sanctify the people and say, sanctify yourselves. You can only go so far because people have to be willing to do it themselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Are you willing to do what you need to do to be restored, having the power of God upon your life? That's what he's asking. That's what he's saying. Not only did Joshua need to understand, then Joshua needed to know what had to be done to remedy the situation. The solution to the problem. When we find ourselves in trouble, first of all, you recognize it by the symptoms. I can't pray. I try to pray and it didn't seem like my prayers get any higher than the ceiling of my house. I don't sense the presence of God. I don't sense that my prayers are being answered. Symptoms. You need to find the source behind the symptoms. There's something wrong somewhere. If you ever had the power of God upon your life, you ever enjoyed the power of prayer, you ever sensed the presence of God, and you don't have it, you've got to go back to where you lost it. There's a reason you lost it. The reason you don't have it. Oh, devil would love to blind you to that. If you've ever had it, it didn't just go away on its own. Stop blaming God. He did not abandon you. You had to have abandoned him. Once you find the source behind the symptoms, you follow through with the solution. I love that. Symptoms, sources, and solution. When you have a heart attack, there's symptoms that lead up to a heart attack. I kept ignoring mine. didn't happen, not there, no. Tried to act like they weren't. I drove to Springfield, Missouri, preached all down in a meeting there, played two rounds of golf on that weekend, come home, had my heart attack on Monday. Doctor said, it's only by the grace of God. Said, you should have died a long time. You should have never got this far. Can't believe you've been able to do what you have been doing with this kind of problem with your heart. I just take an aspirin, two or three, maybe four. I was treating the symptoms because it made me feel better. I ignored the source. Bad heart, clogged arteries. 90% in all of my arteries, 90 to 95% clogged. Everyone, EKG didn't show any of that. Because my heart never did get out of rhythm. Because every vessel going into my heart was equally blocked the same. He said, it would not have got out of rhythm. It would have just stopped. And there would have been nothing anybody could have done about it. If you hadn't have been in the office at the heart hospital when it happened. That's God. I ignored the symptoms. I ignored the source and I started treating the symptoms. And I think too often that's what we do in life. We just try to treat the symptoms and we think it's going to be all right, and it's not all right. You got to find the source. And once you find the source, then you have to know the solution. The solution was open heart surgery, a 6-way bypass. But my heart's functioning better now than it's functioned in years. My lungs aren't, but my heart is. Because of the solution. I'd be dead today if I just continue to treat the symptoms. Don't stop treating the symptoms. Find the source. And once you found the source, do what God says you need to do for the solution. Destroy. Verse 12. Except you destroy the accursed thing from among you. You have to attack it. Once you know it's what Satan's working in your life against you, you have to attack that. Sanctify, verse 13. Sanctify yourself. Set apart for God's purpose. Sanctification, basically just setting yourself apart to serve God. Take away, verse 13. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. You got to remove it. You got to get rid of it. Whatever it is. I don't know what it is. God does. Go back. If you ever had it, go back to when you had it. There's something happened. It wasn't God. Something happened that caused you to lose it. And only you can fix it. The good news is, you can fix it. There is a solution that God will give you if you look to Him. If I could have every head bowed tonight. Solution. It's all about solution. But you'll never come to the solution until you identify the source and stop playing around with the symptoms. Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for this passage of Scripture and even working through Joshua to see how even Joshua could be blinded. If Joshua could be blinded, we can be blinded, and help us not to be. Help us to see very clearly what's going on and what we have need to do to fix it. Blessing the invitation tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.